And so that's our method of Bible study. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, excuse me, we take Paul's epistles here, and the words there are spiritual things. And so we take those things of Paul, that was committed through Paul, and we compare those things that he said with the things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you know what? If they don't tally, in other words, if I find that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John said different by the leadership of the Holy Ghost than the Lord said through the Apostle Paul, then I've either got a contradiction or else I must rightly divide the word of truth. Now, I'm not going to just go butt-headed on and in a stubborn, proud, haughty attitude exalt the religious doctrine of this world above the word of God. I'm not going to try the word of God by the religious system's doctrine. I'm going to try the religious system's doctrine by the word of God. So we compare spiritual things with spiritual. The things written by the Apostle Paul are the things of the Holy Spirit. Those things written in the book of Acts are the things written by the Holy Spirit. But if the things that the Holy Spirit said in the book of Acts are contradictory to the things the Holy Spirit said in Romans through Philemon, then with the realization that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God to the Gentiles, and Paul was given the gospel to the Gentiles, I, being a Gentile, am going to follow the doctrine of the Apostle Paul. I'm not going to take the Acts doctrine and try to weave it in there so that it will match the denominational system today. Now, we're unconcerned here with what some wimpy, denominational-minded individual might say after he rejected the Word of God for personal reasons. We're concerned with what God Almighty said. And, you know, I preached a long time ago that if men would have really known the Lord Jesus Christ as a person, most of them today wouldn't like him. They talk about love. You got to have love, you know. And I have people tell me all the time, "Brother, why don't you smile on television?" And on and on. Well, I don't come on television to put on a show. I come on television to teach the Word of God. And we're not trying to present ourselves to you. We're trying to present Jesus Christ and Him crucified unto you. Jesus Christ is the means of salvation. And so if some wimpy, denominational-minded individual goes against the Word of God, that's his problem. Now, he can stop right now, and he can say, "I see now that the Word of God is right, and I've been wrong." And things will go smoothly. They'll go great. But as long as that individual continues to change the Word of God to make it fit his denominational system, they're going to be a problem, because God's holy Word, just as long as it's preached rightly divided, is going to go against the grain of that individual. And if you happen to be in a so-called grace church and have a so-called grace preacher that doesn't rightly divide the word of truth, then you're not in a grace church. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation are made known unto me the mystery." What is this mystery? Look in verse 6. "That the Gentiles," such as we that are here today, "the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Now, that was a mystery. It was not a mystery that God would save men in the millennium at the second coming of Christ. That's a part of prophecy. It was no mystery that Gentiles could be saved at the second coming. Jesus Christ prophesied of that in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, he'll sit upon the throne of glory, and before him shall be gathered the nations. He'll separate them as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. He'll say to the ones on his right hand, which are the sheep nation, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and thirsty and all these things, and you helped me." And they'll say, "When did we do these things for you?" And he said, "When you did it on the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." Well, then I know by that that God Almighty promised that Gentile nations around this world, that bless Israel in the time of their trouble, God will bless by carrying them into the time we call the millennium. But that has nothing to do with you in this age, because you can't bless Israel anyway, because Israel's not a nation today. Say, well, the United Nations say they are. Well, we're not going to put too much stock in that, are we? I mean, since when are we going to sit down with a King James Bible and take what God said about them and deny that it's true by seeing what the United Nations, the news media say about them today, or some denominational-minded man that wants to make them a nation under God today and get you to be blessed of God by blessing them? No, God hadn't gathered them yet, but he will. So today, Israel is lo am I. They're not God's people. And as long as Israel is lo am I, not God's people, and the Gentiles of this world are in the condition they're in, then there's no difference in them, is there? Therefore, in this age in which we live today, there is no national preeminence. God will save one just like he saved another. There is no national preeminence at all. God Almighty has not exalted one nation above another. There is no moral preeminence. God Almighty will save one man just the same as he'll save another. Your moral character is not the issue here. It's whether you believe in Christ or reject him that's the issue. And there is no, should I say, religious preeminence. Some of you believe that your religious affiliation is preeminent above all others. There are those that are Baptists, and you believe that the Baptist denomination is better in the eyes of God than the Methodists and Presbyterians. There are those of you that are Presbyterians, and you believe that the Presbyterians are better in their denomination and their doctrine than the Methodists and the Baptists, and on and on. And I could go on and on. But there isn't any religious preeminence today. There aren't any that are worth the gunpowder to take to blow them into hell. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said there are none good. And he said there are none that doeth good. No, not one. So there aren't any do-gooders today in the eyes of God. Jesus Christ is the only one that counts. And if you be in Christ, God will receive you. If you're not in Christ, God will reject you. How can you get in Christ? Believe that he died for your sins at Calvary, was buried and rose again. Believe that your sins were judged at Calvary, all your sins paid for, and the Holy Spirit will place you in Christ, and you'll have the blessings of Almighty God. Now again, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. What is the cause that he's referring to? It has to do with that, he said, in chapter 2. Look in chapter 2, verse 11. In chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, the time past of verse 12, the time rather of verse 12 includes the time past of verse 11. Let's read it again, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, verse 12, that at that time past, that time, you were without Christ. Why? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, if these Gentiles to whom Paul wrote this letter had been allied with Israel in time past, they wouldn't have been without Christ. Why? Christ came to Israel, and if they would have been allied with Israel, then they would have had the privilege of the blessings that would have been theirs through Israel according to the Old Testament promises. A lot of people that don't believe the verse today. There are a lot of people that will not read the verse. They won't accept the verse. I was talking to a man one time, and I said, why were these Gentiles, and we're talking about the verse now, I said, according to the verse, why were these Gentiles without Christ? And he said, because they didn't believe on him as their Savior. Then know what the verse said. The verse said that at that time passed, you were without Christ. Why? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. And we've shown that that does not include, in other words, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these Ephesians could not have been in Christ. These Ephesians were not blessed during that period of time. How do you know that? In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ told the apostles, go not in the way of the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew chapter 15, he told a Gentile woman, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, then Christ at that time was sent to Israel. If the Gentiles would have been allied with Israel, then they would have had those blessings that were theirs according to promise. But these Ephesians were not allied with Israel. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel in time past. So I know that time past, as referred to by Paul in the context, would include Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then the doctrine of the salvation for a Gentile in this age is not there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But that isn't all. How about the book of Acts? Time passed. The book of Acts. Look in Acts and look in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, here is a man, a Gentile. His name is Cornelius. Look at the character of this man. Look at the attitude of him. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, hold on that passage. You've got Ephesians in one hand. You've got Acts chapter 10. Now, go back to Genesis and look in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, I notice that this man, Cornelius, fits into the promise back there. In Genesis 12, verse 1, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I know that the Ephesians are not included in the families of the earth as referred to there. Why? Because in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, he said, In time past you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, without hope and without God. Well, then the covenant and the promises of Genesis 12 and Genesis 15 do not include the Ephesians of Ephesians chapter 2. I know that by comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But I know that Cornelius and his house were included here because they did what the passage said. They blessed the seed of Abraham. Now in in Acts chapter 10, verse 2, he was a devout man and one that feared God. He feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. With all his house, gave much alms to the people. That's the nation Israel. To see that it is, look in verse 31. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. In other words, God remembered his alms that he did for the people. Why? Because they're in one accord of the promises of the Old Testament scripture that any Gentile that blessed Israel, God would bless. So God blessed this man by sending Peter to his house. Now, Peter didn't know that he was supposed to do a thing like this. He didn't find out in the so-called Great Commission of Matthew 28 and Mark 16, he's supposed to go to this man's house yet. Now, Peter would have obviously known that there was a day in the future that, yes, but not at that time. He didn't understand that. Why? Jesus Christ has said the children must first be fed. In other words, Israel must first come to the Lord and then the Gentiles. But Peter didn't know that this thing was going to happen this early. And so here's a Gentile that blessed the seed of Abraham that God sends Peter unto. Now look in verse 34 what Peter said to this man. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Then turns around to show that he would be. Verse 35, But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. These Ephesians to whom Paul wrote this letter did neither one. In the past, they had not feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, nor did they work righteous. In fact, they did exactly the opposite. They persecuted the Apostle Paul and persecuted the saints at Ephesus, according to Acts chapter 19. So I know that according to Acts chapter 10, time past of Ephesians 2 is referred to there. But that isn't all. Look in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, notice in verse 13. Acts 13, verse 13, Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them, Elnon. Verse 14, But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. All right, they're in the synagogue of the Jews. Verse 15, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, watch it, and you that fear God, give audience. Then there are two kind of people in there. There were those that were descended from Israel, the children of Israel. They're in there, the Israelites. And Gentiles that feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he said, you give Israel. Give audience. Now notice in verse 26. Verse 26. Paul said, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of salvation sent. Well, who was the word of salvation sent to at Acts 13? Israel and those that feared God. That's clear. But in Acts 19, these Ephesians to whom Paul later wrote this letter, they did not fear the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In fact, the opposite is true. Look in Acts chapter 19. In Acts 19, Paul was at Ephesus, and he formed an assembly there. In Acts 19, verse 8, he went into the synagogue. You'd find Jews, Jewish proselytes, and Gentiles that feared God. You'd find them in a synagogue. And spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing, persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, on and on and on, and he did this for 2 years. So an assembly was formed there from those that believed in the synagogue. They came out, an assembly was established. Now, during that period of time, notice what happened. Look at verse 23. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. In other words, the means that Paul preached unto them, the way of salvation. There was a small stir about that. Verse 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. In other words, they worshipped the female in heaven. They worshipped a female goddess named Diana, and they made silver shrines for her. Verse 25, whom he called together, the workmen of like occupation, and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul had persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. That sound modern to you? I mean, come on, there are thousands and thousands of people around the world today that are worshiping a female in heaven. Don't you understand that? They're worshiping a female, they pray through this female, and they teach people that you can get to the Lord through this female. And they ask that she bless them, and on, just the same. Modern, isn't it? People say, well, we need a newer translation. For what? This is a modern translation I got here. Verse 28. And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius, and by the way, he's one of the seed, he's one of the blessed. Having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. When Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And on and on and on it goes. In other words, they brought pressure upon Paul and those that believed the doctrine that Paul preached. They brought pressure upon the seed of Abraham. Paul is one of the seed of Abraham. And they cursed the seed of Abraham. Therefore, the curse of God was upon them. So I know that the time passed of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, for these Ephesians included Acts 19. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2. Go there again, please. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. All right, I know that Jesus Christ said to the apostles, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Go on to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus Christ said, the children must first be fed. In other words, the Gentiles, such as those that Paul wrote to, they could not have any blessings of God, but Gentiles that blessed Israel could get the blessings of God after Israel got theirs. And that is, Israel will be saved in the tribulation, and then the Gentiles that blessed Israel will be blessed of God in the kingdom. But that doesn't include anybody in the dispensation of grace. Why? There is no Israel for you to bless today. They're Lo Ammi, not God's people. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Last week we discussed the covenants. Notice the promises. Look in Luke chapter 24. They were not in the covenants of promise because they were not allied with Israel. Luke chapter 24, and notice in verse 47. He told the apostles that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, that's a promise, and that these Ephesians couldn't have been included. Verse 48, you're witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tear you in the city of Jerusalem, on and on and on. Why, these Ephesians to whom Paul wrote were not in the covenants of promise in time past. Well, then the promises of the Father unto Israel couldn't have been the Ephesians of Ephesians 2, verse 12. Why? Well, they were strangers from the covenants of promise, without hope and without God. But if, verse 47, if Luke 24, 47 included these Ephesians, then there was hope for them. He said, you in time past had no hope. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. Then the promises to Israel and the promises that were through Israel of Luke chapter 24, verse 47, did not include the Ephesians. And you can, with a butt head and a stubborn attitude and a proud and haughty disposition about you as a preacher, claim the Great Commission of Matthew 28 and Mark 16 and just go on and say, I'm going to do it anyway if you want to, but you will not be included in the rewards at the judgment seat of Christ if you make it there. Let's try again. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1. Notice in verse 3, a reference to the apostles, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which say he, you have heard of me, for John, he truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. The promise is not to those Ephesians. How do I know that? Because Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 said that at that time past, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, then how could they have been in the covenants of promise when they were without Christ, being aliens from Israel? No way. Can you include them in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so forth and so on? There was no promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost unto these people. Look in Acts chapter 2, one other verse. Well, we'll not have time for that. What is the moral to all this? The moral to all this is that God Almighty saved these Ephesians without them being allied with Israel, God saved them without them being in the covenants of promise of the Old Testament Scripture, and that includes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or any covenant that is included in the book of Acts. God saved them. So what I learned by that? I learned by that no matter if you're an idolater or what your moral condition is, God fixed it so that He can save you right now. You don't have to be in the covenants of promise, and you don't have to bless Israel or anybody else for God to save you. You just have to trust Christ. Why? Because Christ died for your sins at Calvary, paid for all of them. They were all judged there. If you will receive Him, God will receive